Grace and mercy and peace be to all of you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's sermon is Psalm 23. I'm going to read it and invite you, maybe you memorized it as a child. If you remember it, please join me in reciting it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is our text. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, several years ago, I served as a vice president for Lutheran Church Canada, and one of the joyful tasks of the Council of Presidents each year is to make assignments for the new church workers who are ready to be placed into service in the congregations and schools of our church. We place new pastors, teachers, deacons, directors of parish services, vicars, and interns into congregations and schools which have requested them. One year, our meeting took place at one of the seminaries of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we had the joyful opportunity to participate in the call service where more than 60 theological candidates received their first assignments. The following night, the assignments were made to more than 70 candidates at the St. Louis Seminary. In Lutheran Church Canada that year, we placed 9 pastoral candidates, 8 vicars, 1 DPS candidate, and 5 interns for the diaconate. What a great joy it is to acknowledge and give thanks to God for new church workers as he provides them for his church. Just before the call service that year, we began to hear about the horrific events that were taking place at the Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado. We were so horrified that someone could enter a school with a gun, intent on destroying the lives of children. That event seemed to be just the beginning of an increasingly frequent and horrible mass murders taking place in the United States. However, I was reminded also of a similar horrific crime that took place in that women's dormitory in Montreal several years ago. It seems that we just begin to think that we've learned some lessons and that we have made changes for the better when the evil breaks forth once more in Montreal, Kentucky, Oregon, Connecticut, Colorado. Since 1999, there have been 377 school shootings. The culture of death, murder, and mayhem is so prevalent in today's world, but it isn't new. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus speaks about intruders who seek to steal and kill and destroy the sheep. He goes on to tell about the true shepherd who cares for and protects his sheep. And finally, he identifies himself as the good shepherd who lays down his own life for the sheep. We certainly need such a shepherd who can calm our fears and keep us safe. And this morning I'd like to take a look at some of the images of the Good Shepherd that we see in the 23rd Psalm. It used to be that children were required to memorize the 23rd Psalm in school, and I see that many of you did. Since that no longer happens in school, Christian parents need to see that their children learn this psalm at home. Not only is this psalm one of the most important writings in all of literature, it is extremely important for the nurturing of our children's faith. Let me show you why. The first image that we see is that of the providing shepherd. The providing shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What a blessing it is to know that my shepherd is the Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth. He created this world as my home, and he provides me with all that I need from day to day. Martin Luther reminds us that he has given me my body and soul, my eyes, ears, my reason and all my senses, and still preserves them. Also clothing and shoes and food and drink and house and home, wife, children, land, animals, and all my goods, and that he richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. Because the Lord God is my shepherd, I truly have everything I need. I lack nothing. Our good shepherd is a feeding shepherd. The psalm tells us that he makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet waters. Where are the green pastures and the quiet waters? What do those images refer to? There must be a deep, more significant meaning to these pictures. Jesus once quoted an Old Testament verse when Satan tempted him to turn stones into loaves of bread, when he said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." What kind of diet breeds violence and the culture of death? What kind of a diet produces children who kill children? Is it not the diet of self-centered indulgence, a diet devoid of discipline and love? Are we feeding our children the wrong food and giving them bad water to drink? We permit 6- and 7-year-olds to see violent movies intended for a much older audience. We provide them opportunities to watch musical videos that are intended to arouse and stimulate sexual desires, while we fail to discuss with them their normal, healthy desires and how to use them responsibly in marriage. We see crowds of people cheering so-called wrestlers as they perpetuate violence upon one another, and justify it by saying, "Well, it's all an act and simple entertainment." The fact is, there is a food that leads to death, and we need to recognize such food and avoid it and shelter our children and youth from it. That's a parent's job of shepherding. From all indication, the parents of those youth who caused such horror in Colorado were normal, ordinary parents. And that's the truly frightening part. What has become normal and ordinary in our society is evil. And what is the good food which our good shepherd provides in his holy word is ignored, particularly by parents who, in their zeal to provide all the educational and physical opportunities possible, have nevertheless failed to shepherd their children's spiritual needs. Our good shepherd has given us the bread of life and living waters so that we may live. He feeds us with his very body and blood, which grant forgiveness for our sins and eternal life and salvation. And the result of eating our good shepherd's food and drinking from his stream is the restoration of our soul. My soul once again is at peace, restored, made whole, when I eat in his pasture and drink from his stream. Another image we see in the psalm is that our good shepherd is a guiding shepherd. He guides us in two ways. The psalm says, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is the normal path that our life as his sheep is to take. Without his guiding, I will take a different pathway. A pathway of popularity might take me one way. The path of success and riches will take me another way. The path of power still another. So many different pathways and so many different ways for sheep to get lost, to be led astray. But our good shepherd calls his sheep to follow the path of righteousness. And that means living and doing what is right in life, avoiding the evil, and avoiding all those other paths that lead to evil. This too, parents must help their children to understand. Following Jesus Christ is the only way that leads us safely through this life. There's another way in which our good shepherd guides us. Not only in the normal pathways of righteousness, but also those times when we may experience great evil. The psalmist says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Sudden terror, violence, and death will cause great fear. That's a normal reaction. What is abnormal is to believe that God is with me during such time. We would think that God has abandoned us to the evil. We might think that God isn't there in Sandy Hook, or that he wasn't there at that Colorado high school. But David, the writer of this psalm, tells us differently. Our good shepherd is there with us through the evil. He uses his rod and staff, the rod to defend us from predators and the staff to shepherd us through the evil, just as that high school teacher shepherded his own flock away from danger at the price of his own life. He was a good shepherd for his students, just as Jesus is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. Only in Jesus' case, it wasn't to give his life so that his disciples could be physically saved from death, but to give them eternal life and salvation. You see, our good shepherd's protection is far more than just this earthly life of ours. As precious as life is, and as horrible thing as it is to wantonly destroy life, we must know and believe that there is a fate worse than physical death, and that is spiritual death. To keep me safe from that evil, my good shepherd, your good shepherd, gave his life. And to keep us safe for eternal life, he will always protect and see me through the valley, even if it means walking through the valley of physical suffering and temporal death. Another image that we see in this psalm is our good shepherd as an honoring shepherd. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Being a follower of the Good Shepherd will cause us to have enemies. Enemies of Christ will seek to put us to shame, to mock our faith and put down our beliefs. They will call us names and assault our convictions. That's the price we willingly pay to follow our shepherd. But our good shepherd sets a bountiful table for us in the presence of our enemies. He vindicates our faith and upholds our trust in him. So many times Jesus spoke of the kingdom of heaven as a banquet table or a wedding feast. The ultimate vindication over our enemies will be when we sit down at table with our Lord in the heavenly kingdom, just as he has promised. The final image of our good shepherd that we see in the 23rd Psalm is the healing shepherd. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. And the result? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When sheep were injured in their daily travels or by the assaults made upon them, the shepherd would pour olive oil on their wounds and tend to each one. That oil was poured from a cup to cleanse and soothe the injury. The New Testament times, the olive oil was used for that healing. James says in chapter 5, verse 14, "Is any of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord." For all the hurts and injuries inflicted upon us in life, we have our good shepherd's healing oil, the gospel of salvation. This is the cup that overflows for you and me. The unending love and the ever-present mercy and grace for sinners. He heals our wounds of body and soul. He grants us perfect healing, perfect forgiveness, perfect peace, so that we may also dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Have you ever tried to find a hidden picture in an autostereogram? Autostereograms are those confusing pictures that remind you of a wallpaper pattern, but with no picture that makes sense. The way to find the picture is to get your eyes to focus just right. One way is to hold the picture close to your nose for a few minutes and then remove it back and focus on one spot in the design and slowly back the picture away from your face, and suddenly you see it and you say, "Wow, isn't that great? Fantastic. I couldn't believe there was a picture like that there." Those are common comments when seeing the three-dimensional picture for the first time. Sometimes life is like an autostereogram, a confusing picture. It just doesn't seem to make any sense. Chaotic events and senseless violence may cause us to wonder if there's any purpose or objective to life. The hidden design is only discovered when our eyes focus on our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for the sheep and who loves us with an everlasting love. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.